Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
We are joined today by Ed Jones, driving this year for Ed Carpenter / Scuderia Corsa Racing. Ed, first off, thanks for joining me this afternoon here. How's everything going so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, it's all good. Just got back home actually from Toronto yesterday. So it's nice to have a few days off before I head to Iowa. Of course, not driving this weekend, but we'll be watching.
Sure. Yes. Yep. Obviously, I guess being able to, you know, be on the pit box with Ed Carpenter in the car is definitely a good learning experience. I think Ed's pretty good there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's always good to get a different perspective, even though you always want to be driving. Sure. But, you know, the team's clearly been very strong there for the last few years. So, you know, hopefully they can keep that up and have another strong result come Saturday.
Awesome. So, you know, taking a look at the entire season, you know, what's it like been, you know, last year with Ganassi, this year you're with, as I mentioned, Ed Carpenter and Scuderia Corsa. What's the experience been like working with all the parties involved there?
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, great working with everyone involved with Ed Carpenter Racing. And then, as you say, Scuderia Corsa. They're just trying to get even more involved into IndyCar. And, you know, after, you know, success they've had in IMSA and sports car racing, it's a good group of people to have on board and makes a good partnership. It's been a pretty tough season, but, you know, we're kind of getting there. We've identified what some of those issues are, and unfortunately, you know, some of that you can't really fix in season. But we're doing the best we can, and I think Toronto, again, we showed some strong pace at certain phases, and we're just trying to be more consistent with that.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing I noticed when I was looking online is this is actually your best, you know, average qualifying position throughout, you know, a season to date by about one or two places. You know, it helps you qualified, you know, sixth for the, you know, Indy 500, and you were, what, fourth this weekend in Toronto.
But it has other way around. I think it's fourth for Indy 500 and sixth for Toronto. But yeah.
I knew I was close.
Yeah.
That's actually what it says right in my notes here. If I just looked up at my screen, you know, it hasn't necessarily translated, unfortunately, into race results. Is there anything that you to, you know, pinpoint? Maybe, hey, if I improve on, you know, my in laps, my out laps, whatever, that. You know, you're able to take for the rest of the season and at least, you know, work on, you know, improving those results into some top tens?
Yeah, no, I'm also, I think it's just rather than being those kind of things in laps, out laps, we've been pretty strong there. It's just been strong with the balance once we get into race, race running and over stint, we struggle quite a lot. Clearly in qualifying with the new tyres, you're able to mask that a bit and being able to take advantage of that. But yeah, clearly we're just struggling race pace and, you know, as you said, the qualifying has on average been quite good. But you know, I think, you know, the teams have found quite a bit of differences over the off season. Of course, last year was the first year of the new era kit, and I think things were much more equalized and, you know, a lot of teams have been struggling. I think, one of the big things is everyone says how equal the IndyCar series is, but, you know, a lot of the time, the only reason why it looks like that is because there's a lot of, you know, safety cars and yet cautions. But when we've had, you know, full green races like Road America and Toronto, you really see the difference between the cars, and it's quite big. And, you know, everyone's always trying to step their game up, and we just got to work a bit harder to get there for the race pace.
So one thing you touched on there was, you know, a long green flag type race like Road America and Toronto really separates the cars. So when other numbers say that, hey, you know, there's not a lot of passing because, you know, the level of competition is so high. Do you typically agree with that?
You know, of course, the competition is very high. The driver level is probably the highest it's been in quite a while. So I agree with that, but also I think the separation between the teams is bigger than it's been in quite a while as well. So it makes it more difficult, and I think you've seen that on quite a few occasions where, you know, the front few will be all certain teams together, and so yeah, that's kind of been the way it has this year. Of course, you know, on average you see that the Andretti cars are probably the strongest most weekends, and again with certain drivers that have driven with, you know, certain teams like that on and off weekends, and then with other teams you see how big the difference is.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually saying to somebody this weekend, if you look at Alex Rossi's either of his victories this year, which have been over a 20-second margin of victory, they are if you combine every other race, it doesn't equal one of his victories in terms of margin of victory. So it's been pretty crazy to see how well the Andretti cars have done. But taking a step back to earlier this year, you had a pretty intense crash in St. Pete, and I think either broke a bone or had some sort of injury. Has that hampered anything in your driving style, or have you been able to pretty much put that behind you by the time you got to Circuit of the Americas the next week?
Yeah, you know, of course that hurt quite a bit. And then for Coda, it did hurt quite a lot throughout the weekend, but it didn't really hamper me. And then from then onwards, I was fine. Yeah, it's still a pain, but you kind of just get over it. And fortunately, it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty scary crash.
Yeah, it just caught me out. You know, I saw Dixon had a similar incident at Detroit, although the runoff was a bit bigger, so he had time to slow down. But it's easy, especially on the street circuits, when you're really trying to push the limits, trying to get good runs, to just clip that inside wall, and, you know, it creates quite a big incident.
Yeah, very well said there. Going forward, you know, looking at the remaining, I think there's six races left now, and that means if we take out two ovals, you have four tracks left on your schedule. Is there one that you're most excited, that you believe, listen, we've got a really good chance at a great finish here?
Yeah, it's always hard to say until you get to the race weekend. We had a good test day in Ohio, actually, after Road America. So hopefully that should help us going forward. And then Portland was also quite a good track for me last year, until I got caught up in that. The crash at the start, but you know, again, it's hard to say until you get to the race weekend. Things can change so much. It's hard to know where you're at, but I think for sure Mid-Ohio and Portland should have good potential for us, and hopefully we can have a strong weekend.
Awesome. I'm gonna ask two Toronto based questions, and then you know, we'll start with one other question, then I'll go back to Toronto.
Yep.
You know, your most races, your teammate is Spencer Piggott. What's it been like driving with Spencer this year? Have you guys been able to, you know, learn a bunch from each other, both as younger drivers?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's good to have Spencer there. Obviously, the team, we struggled a bit. They've obviously been there for quite a while, and they're still trying to look for something to happen. But yeah, I'm really, you know, coming in now with my experience from the different teams. I'm trying to push a few things and trying to help push the team along. But yeah, you know, he's been a good teammate. He can be fast on, you know, certain points in the weekend, and is competitive. So it's always good to have that. And hopefully we can, you know, both of us have, you know, had certain points where we've been strong and just haven't quite had the race results we probably deserved. And hopefully we can close out the season strong.
Yeah, very, very well said there. Spencer's a good young guy. Let's see here. Before I move on, can you, and I don't know if you can even comment on it, but Do you have anything planned with you know, with either Scuderia or Ed Carpenter for after this year? You know, guys, have you guys started looking at 2020 yet?
No, not at the moment. You know, things are still coming together. You know, at the end of the day, for me, you know, in terms of racing, yeah, of course, you know, there's some guys who are just okay to just race and, you know, come around, finish midfield or back. But, you know, I just, for me, it's all about being able to compete at the front again, and whatever we can work together to, you know, find a competitive package. That's all I want, and the only way that, you know, I feel I enjoy the racing and feel that it's worth it. So, you know, we're all working together, trying to make things better. We showed this at Toronto. We can do that being the fast six again. Like I said, we just got to try and do something to make it more consistent, and hopefully that could lead to better results and hopefully another go at it next year.
Cool. Great answer. I'll wrap it up with kind of one or two more questions here and let you go on your day. You got to see Robert Wickens drive the hand-controlled Acura NSX this weekend. How inspiring is it to see him come back? I know he wasn't racing, but, you know, wheeling a car around the track. You know,
no, that,
10 or 11 months after the accident.
No, that's fantastic. You know, all credit to Robbie. You know, yeah, I've had an injury in the past. Obviously, you know, when I injured my back, nowhere near as serious as Robbie's. But I remember how mentally destabilizing and how frustrating or, you know, depressing it can be. It was the first time I had ever not been able to race or be active. And, you know, for him to have, you know, much more extreme, much more difficult circumstance, and to show the strength he has and be willing to, you know, how hard he's been working at trying to regain strength and the recovery, you know, it's not easy to do. And you can't underestimate how much effort he's putting in. And by seeing what he's done already, I'm, you know, really confident that he's going to be back in a race car. You know, obviously he was already in the car then, but in a race car properly and back to racing and hopefully not such a long future. So again, I'd love to see him back on track soon, and just wish him the best recovery as he keeps challenging and keeps working through it.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with that. And I'll wrap it up with one easy question here. You know, obviously Wickens' car was hand controlled. Do you think we could, or would you be in favor of competitors, you know, using a hand control like that in an Indy car if the, you know, technology is able to be developed?
Yeah, of course. You know, I don't see any reason why not to if it all works fine, as long as, you know, the IndyCar are happy with it and that it all works properly. You know, there's no reason why that shouldn't happen. I know, you know, they've done in other series like World Touring Cars with Zanardi in the past.
Yeah.
I think, again, it would be much more challenging in an IndyCar just because of the physicality of, you know, how physical these cars are, and without the power steering could make things a lot tougher. But you know, if they find a way to work it out, I don't have anything against it.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, I'll let you go here. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Look forward to seeing you out at the track.
Yeah, thank you. And All right. See you soon.
Thanks.